Thank you for that, ladies. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 tonight. Luke chapter 2. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. And had a great service this morning, I believe, and great spirit. And if you're here visiting, let me comfort you. I'm not the usual preacher, so you can come back. It's not too bad. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 tonight. Who got their afternoon nap in today? Anybody? Just Tim? That's why he's so happy. He's got that big smile because he got his nap in today. I'm a bit grumpy because I didn't get mine today, but hopefully next week. Amen. Luke chapter 2. I want to read the whole account. I know Pastor Phil touched a little bit on it this morning, but I'd like to read just the whole account here. And I want to talk to you, well, I'll introduce that here in a moment. But Luke chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 1 through to 20. Verse 1 through to 20. Verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And when all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I want to share with you a message entitled, Why the Shepherds? Why the Shepherds? And I'm going to speculate a little bit, but it's fun. And but I want to perhaps convince to you why God chose shepherds. Shepherds to do what? Let's get into it. Let's pray. And we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning or this evening, just for the privilege and honor to serve you, Lord, tonight. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who's come tonight to hear your word. And that's exactly what they want to do. I pray, Lord, that they do hear from you. I pray, Lord, that they hear from your word. I pray, Lord, that nothing would be said that is out of place. Lord, I pray that you would speak for me. I pray that you'd just use me as a mouthpiece, Lord. I thank you for the honor, Lord, to give your word tonight. I just want to glorify you through this message. Lord, I want at the end of the message, Lord, faith, Lord, built up even further in the purpose of your son coming here to die on earth, on the cross, so that our sins could be paid for. And I pray if there's anyone here tonight that does not know that for sure, I pray, Lord, tonight would be the day of salvation for them. I pray, Lord, that they would hear the gospel, Lord, perhaps through this message or even after the service, Lord, I pray that you'd give them the courage, Lord, and we can share to them, Lord, through your word, how they could know for sure that they'll be on their way to heaven and be reconciled with you. Lord, we love you. May we give honor and glory to your name. Right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this time of season. I love Christmas. And if you haven't put up any Christmas decorations, it's long overdue. So go up there, get on the ladder, fellas, and put some lights. Who puts lights on their houses? I'm the only one. All right, good. Almost killed myself the other day doing it. But we did it, amen. And the set of lights that I almost died on doesn't even work properly. So praise the Lord. And but I love this season. I love the trees and the nativity scenes and all the things that have to do with it. And I love just going back to the story of Christ's birth. And now we know that God had sent His Son into the world. We all know that. He didn't do so without preparation. God raised up a forerunner to prepare the way, per se, and that forerunner was John the Baptist. When he came, he came for the sole purpose of pointing people to Christ. He made it clear that he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that is exactly what he did. But when it came time for the birth of Jesus Christ, better yet, the incarnation of God the Son, okay, Jesus did not start existing on his physical birth here on earth, okay? Remember, he already existed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, okay? God also chose specific people to announce that birth or that incarnation. Now, think about this for a moment. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is about to enter the world. God the Son is about to humble himself and take upon him the form of a man. You might reasonably ask the question, how should a king come? Growing up, I always thought about the events that had happened leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. Humanly speaking, the birth of Jesus Christ was preceded by what seemed like a series of unfortunate events. Who's ever seen that show, All right, again, I'm alone. I'm glad I'm on this island. But it's a show, and something bad just happens from one thing to another. And it feels that way when you read this. A young woman found herself great with child under circumstances that invited misunderstanding, suspicion, and potential shame. She just got betrothed, right? And Pastor Phil explained that to us. She just got betrothed, and now she's great with child, and now she's trying to explain to Joseph, hey, I'm great with child with the Son of God. How do you explain that to your, I guess a fiancé may be the equivalent, right? How do you explain that without saying that you, for the lack of a better term, cheated on Joseph. Anyway, but man, what is this? There was suspicion and potential shame on Mary's part. A taxing decree from Caesar forced Joseph and Mary to travel nearly 100 miles, about 1,600 kilometers, from Nazareth to Bethlehem at the worst possible time, with Mary heavy with child. Okay. And because Joseph was from Bethlehem, they had to, when they had to do the census, okay, they had to go to their own town. So Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. But at this point, they're in Nazareth, which was a long hike, okay? Now, when they arrived, there was no room for them in the inn, leaving them without comfort, privacy, or dignity. Now, I don't know about Joseph, okay? Joseph perhaps forgot to get on booking.com and book an inn, but I know it's a last-minute thing. They didn't have the comforts that we have now. Maybe, perhaps, I don't know. I don't know the whole situation, but there was no room in the inn. The promised Messiah was born not in a palace, but in poverty, not surrounded by servants, but laid in a manger meant for animals. Yet what appeared to be hardship, inconvenience and neglect was in fact the precise unfolding of God's sovereign plan For every closed door and difficult step brought the Savior exactly where prophecy had declared he must be born. We think of all these unfortunate events and then we think, man, isn't the Lord like, doesn't he know everything? Isn't he all powerful? Isn't he everywhere? Couldn't he have planned all this better than the way it turned out? You know, God had a purpose, and we know that purpose. Now, throughout history, when a king was born, it was a public spectacle. Do you remember the birth of Prince William's first child, Prince George? Do you all remember that? Some of you weren't even born yet. It was surrounded by spectacle that was both grand and delightfully eccentric. For weeks, reporters and photographers camped outside the Lindo Wing, some dressed in Union Jack suits, royal costumes, and even fake crowns, turning the sidewalk into a carnival of anticipation. A lone town crier, dressed in full traditional regalia, rang his bell and proclaimed the news in booming old English style, while a ceremonial easel bearing the official announcement was placed outside Buckingham Palace, guarded by police and admired by tourists. Man, this bell crier, he was all dressed up. Maybe we can do something for Brother Andrew, ringing that bell. Maybe we can deck the halls with bells. Anyway, gun salutes thundered across the Hyde Park and the town of London. Church bells rang throughout the country, and landmarks from Niagara Falls to the Sydney Opera House were lit in royal blue. Newspapers rushed out, special editions, souvenir mugs, and plates appeared almost instantly, and social media buzzed nonstop as the world collectively paused to celebrate the arrival of a royal child in a manner carefully choreographed, richly traditional, and memorably extravagant. Surely, surely the birth of the King of Kings would bring the same kind of fanfare and celebration, right? You would think. At our church in Michigan, there was a song a men's trio used to sing. It was called How Should a King Come? I hated it at first. It grew on me, okay? So maybe we might become a, you guys up for it, a trio? No. It was called How Should a King Come? And that's the very question we're considering today. How should a king come? Even a child knows the answer, of course. In a coach of gold with pure white horse. In the beautiful city in the prime of the day, and the trumpets should cry and the crowds make way, and the flags fly high in the morning sun, and the people all cheer for the sovereign one. And everyone knows that's the way that it's done. That's the way that a king should come. How should a king come? Even a commoner understands he should come for his treasures and his houses and lands. He should dine upon summer strawberries and milk, and sleep upon bedclothes of satin and silk. And high on a hill his castle should glow with the lights of the city like jewels below. And everyone knows that's the way that it's done. That's the way that a king should come. But that's not how this king came. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Just beginning the message here, it tells us, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. When I think of a birth of a king, I think of somebody important that would proclaim or that would announce the birth of a king. Not just any king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I would think somebody with, the guy who announces fights, maybe perhaps Michael Buffer. You guys know who that is. Maybe it's time to rumble or whatever he says, right? And maybe someone who's well-renowned that would announce it. Somebody who is very important that would announce the very birth of the King of Kings. But who does God choose to announce it to first? The shepherds. And then later on, the shepherds go out and then announce Christ's birth later on. The shepherds. Why in the world would God choose the shepherds to announce and to have announced to the birth of Jesus Christ? Of all the people, God could have chosen religious leaders, could have chosen political figures, dignitaries, but no, he chose shepherds. I want you to understand that shepherds were common people. there were blue-collar workers. When you look at people, and I have the honor and privilege to kind of do some maintenance work here, so if things fall apart, you know it's Jabez's fault. But I have the honor to do some of that work, and man, after a long day's work, I mean, you're stinky, right? Right? Now, well, Jabez, you start the day stinky, but anyway, you're stinky, right? And blue-collared people, they're frowned upon, right? They weren't influential. They weren't wealthy. They were often looked down upon. They spend their days and nights with sheep, dirty, smelly animals, okay? Who's ever worked on a farm? Who's ever had sheep, okay? My wife likes sheep, okay? She thinks they're adorable. I like sheep. They're very, very tasty, very beautiful on Australia Day. And I like sheep. But if you've been around them when they're alive, I guess when they're dead, they're even worse. But when they're alive, they're pretty stinky, aren't they? Right? Am I the only one talking here? I feel like I'm just talking to a wall. But the sheep, just take my word for it, they're very, very stinky. Okay? They use their wool. That's their thing. And these were not the people you would expect to receive heaven's first announcement. It's almost like choosing the janitor to announce the birth of your firstborn child. Imagine this with me, okay? My son, he was born in Michigan. He's my firstborn, my only son, my only begotten son, okay? Now, can you imagine people waiting for the news? People were wondering, oh, who's this? Is he? I think we kept it a secret, didn't we? We didn't know if it was. We had family members buying dresses. He still has it. But they were cute and everything, and they were wondering. They were just wondering, is it a boy? Is it a girl? What's his name? And I'll tell you later. But can you imagine if I didn't choose somebody important to announce it? Perhaps I could. You know, the normal thing would be is to call up the pastor and say, hey, pastor, would you be able to announce to the church that our firstborn child has been born? And his name is Reese James Tinkson, right? That would be the thing to do. But instead, I chose the janitor, the stinky janitor or the gardener, okay? Actually, our gardener was a doctor as well, but anyway, he's stinky too. But if I chose him and said, hey, I want you to tell the church Reese has been born. Oh, his name's Reese, our firstborn child. You know, when people hear about it, they'll start to wonder, why am I hearing it from you? Why are you telling me this? Are you even close to the family? Boy, why did you come here all stinkied up and everything? Why would he choose you to tell me that his son was born? That would be an equivalent to asking the shepherds to tell others about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, okay? Now, that's not exactly how we announced Reese's birth. Of course, we did the right thing. And you announce it to the mother-in-law first. Listen, if you want to live, you announce the birth of your child to the mother-in-law first. Do we understand, fellas? All right, good. I had a few close calls. Anyway, don't tempt her. Now, God chose shepherds. He didn't choose the Pharisees. He didn't choose the Sadducees. He didn't choose the scribes or the rulers, but instead he chose the shepherds. And growing up, I've always wondered, why would he choose the shepherds? Now, these aren't shepherds, are they? No, one of them is. He's holding a stick. Right? That's a shepherd, right? And he's a wise man with a stick.
No, it's Joseph.
Oh, that's Joseph. All right. All right, he made that stick. He's a carpenter. Yeah, I'm connecting the dots. It's a good day when I do that. And so I'm going to roll this morning. You all know, inside joke. All right. Now, shepherds, I've always wondered it. Why? Why would he choose the shepherds? I want to speculate a little bit. Is that all right? Is that okay? I want to look at a few things, okay? Now, Scripture doesn't explicitly tell us why God chose shepherds, but it does give us enough to reflect carefully. Luke chapter 2, I want you to watch this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says this: they were keeping watch over their flock by night, okay? Now, it also says that they were in the same country, okay? That tells us they were awake when others slept. They were nearby. They were attentive. They were faithfully doing their job. Some have suggested that these shepherds may have been caring for sheep in the region surrounding Bethlehem, close to Jerusalem, okay? So they were in Bethlehem. Bethlehem's not very far from Jerusalem. Now, this is very, very unusual because sheep weren't kept close to the city back in those days. They actually had an order that they couldn't, with the exception of this, okay? Ancient Jewish writings indicate that sheep kept near Jerusalem were often destined for temple sacrifice. While the Bible does not state this directly, it is a meaningful possibility. It's a possibility that these shepherds may have been shepherds that were preparing or taking care of sheep that was to be used for the temple sacrifice. Not just ordinary shepherds. They weren't just, you know, like David or whoever that were just taking care of just sheep that they owned. These were pretty special shepherds that they perhaps were taking care of sheep that was going to be used for temple sacrifice. All right, now, just a few miles from Bethlehem, there was a place known as Migdal Eder, meaning the Tower of the Flock. Micah 4:8 mentions this location in a passage connected to Israel's future hope and restoration. We know it's a bit of a poetry, but while we should be careful not to claim more than Scripture clearly teaches, the imagery is striking. It's quite a coincidence. If these shepherds were accustomed to caring for sheep that would later be used in sacrifice, then they would have understood something important about what God was doing. Perhaps they were in this tower where they were watching the flock by night. They were watching at that night. They were watching the sheep by night that were to be used for temple sacrifice. Now look at verse 12 with me in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 12, it says this, "And this shall be a sign unto you." Okay, so the first thing I want you to understand is that these shepherds were looking after sheep that was close to the city that perhaps was used for temple sacrifice. Now, the second thing, we're just going to play murder mystery here. Well, not murder, mystery. All right, verse 12, it says this, "And this shall be a sign unto you." Who are they talking to? He's talking to the shepherds, right? "This is a sign for you, shepherds. Ye," plural, "you guys shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Swaddling clothes were commonly used to wrap newborn babies. We know that. That alone wouldn't be unusual. But the angel says that this would be a sign to the shepherds, okay? Now, some have observed that shepherds were careful to protect the lambs from injury, especially those that needed to remain without blemish. Sheep that were to be sacrificed were to be without blemish. Let's pick on Luke, right? Luke, he's the newest addition to the church, right? He's somewhere. But you know, newborn babies, we always swaddle them. Our children, they had, you know, the long nails, right? And sometimes if you don't trim them, and babies, they don't, like, they're unco, right? Right? You get me? Unco. And they would scratch themselves, right? They don't know how to control their body yet, right? And so we would swaddle them so that they wouldn't scratch themselves, right? And so these temple shepherds would wrap the lamb they would swaddle them in these clothes so that they would remain unblemished, okay? And so this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, they said that this would be a sign to them, okay? This is just another clue as to why perhaps God chose the shepherds. Now, some have observed whether or not swaddling was used in that context, the picture would not be lost on shepherds carefully wrapping protection, gentleness, and purpose, okay? If that's not the reason, perhaps that of the swaddling can be very related to the shepherds that were caring for the sheep and in terms of wrapping and protecting and being gentle, okay? Now, the third thing I want to talk about is this. This child was laid in a manger. Now, a manger can either be a dwelling place or a feeding trough for animals. During this time, we see lots of nativity scenes. We have one right here, okay? We don't know if that's Joseph, could be the shepherd or a wise man, okay? During this time, we see a lot of these, right? I've seen some pretty elaborate ones. There's even some that have a live nativity scene where people are sitting there in the cold, right? In front of their little portable heater, right? And then they've got a real donkey and they got these real animals. In fact, the church that supports us now, they have a live Christmas show, okay? They got camels that come walking in. They have a real angel that comes out from the ground, okay? They help him a little bit with some string, but he comes down and it's a great thing. And I love nativity scenes. I like the creativity. But the most elaborate nativity scenes are often found in Italy, right? Because Italians, right? They know they're very artistic. With notable examples including the Neapolitan-style nativity at the Basilica of Saints Cosma, and Damien, you're writing this down, in Rome, and the massive in the Charter House, okay? Museum in Naples. Just Google it, I guess. These elaborate scenes are known for their intricate details, large scale and hundreds of figures that depict not just the Holy Family, but also daily life, a rich variety of characters and realistic crafts. Now, and who's ever seen some of those? They're beautiful. They're great, okay? But now, a manger, it's not exactly what it really looked like, okay? So we mentioned a manger can either be a dwelling place or a feeding trough for animals. A dwelling place could be a cave back in those days, not a typical wooden stable that you would find in traditional nativity scenes, but it says that he would be lying in the manger, okay? I doubt they would put him on the roof, okay, or the cave or whatever, okay? So I think it is a feeding trough, okay? It's referring to the feeding trough. Now, the feeding trough also isn't what you would typically think of like in a traditional nativity scene, okay? It actually, they weren't made out of wood, okay? They were usually made out of like a big boulder and then they would carve the top part of it and they would place the food on there, okay? But sometimes we just stick with the wooden manger, amen? I know we had a play the kids were involved in. Who's ever heard of the three trees, right? The three trees, they wanted to make something of themselves, right? And the one tree became a, what did he become? He became a boat, right? That Jesus would ride on. And one became a cross, right? But the first one, he became a manger, okay? And so it would ruin that photo, that illustration of that play, okay? It's not what you would typically think of. Now get this. Temple shepherds would place sheep also in mangers to keep them from getting hurt before being sacrificed in the temple. Okay? Just like if you've had a newborn baby, you try to make sure that they're tight in there. My wife would get the ratchet strap. You ain't moving anywhere, okay? You're not rolling over. You're not going to end up dying, right? And man, you don't want that baby to hurt themselves. Now, this fact furthermore foreshadows the purpose of the babe. And nobody would understand it more than the shepherds that God chose to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if God announced this to a plumber? Would he understand this? Probably. Dave understands all things. If you announced it to a Sparky, would he get it? Right? He'd be there. He'd be like, why is there no lights here? Oh, we can put some LED lights here. LED, LED, LED. We can put some sparkling, right? Right? And we need a three-phase here. Get some air conditioning. But that's what they would think. And God didn't choose those people for a reason. I think God chose the shepherds because the shepherds were shepherds that worked over the sheep that were used for the temple sacrifice in the temple. The shepherds knew the significance of a baby being wrapped and swaddled in swaddling clothes. The shepherds would have known the significance of this baby being in a manger because they've been handling all this sheep, this lambs who were to be sacrificed for the sins of people. And when the shepherds were told this, that it would be a sign for them, and they went to this place and they saw the baby, they knew exactly what this meant. And they saw this baby and they knew this wouldn't be a king that would reign and then who would take over past the Roman Empire, but it would be a baby that would to be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world. And that's why I think God chose the shepherds. They understood that. And I kept thinking to myself and over, and I think, God, was this a mistake? Was this all an accident? No, God purposefully orchestrated this whole thing that the shepherds knew that is the Lamb of God who is to be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world. And they knew the significance of it. Not in a palace, not a throne, a place associated with animals and humility. Again, the scripture does not demand symbolic interpretation, but the theological truth is clear. This child was born to give his life. That was his purpose. And the shepherds knew it. Jesus Christ would become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The rest of that song, I didn't sing it at all. But the rest of it goes like this. How should a king come on a star-filled night into Bethlehem? Rode a weary woman and a worried man. And the only sound in the cobblestone street was the shuffle and the ring of their donkey's feet. And a king lay hid in a virgin's womb, and there were no crowds to see him come. At last, in a barn, in a manger of hay, he came and God incarnate lay. And the angels cried, glory, glory to God. Earth was silent, so heaven rang, glory, glory to God. Men were dumb, so the angels sang, glory, glory to God. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, glory, glory to God. Christ is born in Bethlehem, glory to God, glory in the highest. He did not come with fanfare on earth, but heaven could not stay silent. The shepherds were a fitting choice, not because of who they were, but because of what God was doing. God delights in using humble people to declare glorious truth. But let's never forget that this season it's not about the shepherds. It's not about the wise men. It's not even about the staff. That's controversial. We don't know if that's Joseph, but it's not about all that. But it's about God coming in the flesh to pay the penalty for our sins. You don't go to a boxing match to see the announcer. You go to see the champion. And Christ is the champion. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That is how a king should come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your coming. Thank you, Lord, that you made a way. Lord, humanly, I can't comprehend that you would leave the throne of glory to live in poverty, to give of your life for a sinful world that doesn't deserve any of it. We don't deserve the goodness that you give to us each day. We don't deserve the salvation that you've planned out for us. We don't deserve to be back in relation fellowship with you, to be in your family, to be joint heirs with the Son of God. We don't deserve any of that. But you did it. And you went through a lot. And you gave of your life. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, I beg you, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Help them to understand that Jesus is not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just an ordinary man. He was the Son of God that came here on earth and made himself into a man and lived a perfect life and allowed his very own Lord to punish him and to crucify him and put him on the cross so that we could have reconciliation with you. Help them to understand that, Lord, it's not by works, it's not by anything else, it's not by coming to church, it's not by anything, but it's because of Christ, what you did for us on the cross. And help them to understand that. And Lord, as Christians, Lord, I pray that perhaps these truths may just build our faith a little bit and understand what all went on, Lord, in order for our salvation to be paid from the very beginning, Lord. And help us to understand that, Lord. Lord, we love you. May you bless the rest of the evening, we pray in Jesus' name.